It's Wednesday, March 13th, 2013, 12:15, and we are the Committee on Health and Human Services and Housing. We are beginning with Senate File 941, Senator Miller.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. We do have a A13 amendment that is in the packet.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move that the A13
Senator amendment. Senator Rosen moves the A13, did you say?
A13, yes,
A13
ma'am.
Amendment to Senate File 941. Is this your first hearing?
Yes, ma'am.
It's an author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The amendment passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. What I'll do is I'll quickly go through all of the changes in Senate File 941 and explain the overall bill, the changes in language, and then I'll turn it over to the witness to explain some of the great things we're doing with Region 10 Quality Assurance in southeastern Minnesota. So right now there's a sunset date of June 30th, 2014 for Region 10 Quality Assurance. The DHS State Quality Council is moving toward developing a new statewide quality management system that utilizes a regional approach, very similar to Region 10 Quality Assurance. And Region 10 Quality Assurance will be helpful in developing this new program. So Section 1 eliminates that sunset date. Section 2, the state Quality Council has just begun work to develop a plan and implement regional councils throughout the state. It is anticipated that this could be as far off as July of 2016 before this work is complete. So we're asking that those folks in Region 10 we want them to have the choice to opt into the system, even if their county does not opt in. So that's what we're doing in Section 2. Some of the stakeholders receive a stipend for being part of the council for their work in volunteering. Those that are working for a provider or a county or a state agency that are being paid by their employer are not eligible for the stipend. And some of the stakeholders that are eligible have chosen not to take that stipend. So this Section 5 just changes the language to they may be paid. So if they decline that stipend, this allows them to do that. Let's see here. On Section 7, there's language. Right now, Region 10 Quality Assurance utilizes alternative standards approved by the DHS licensing for services specified in Section 7C, 1 through 6. DHS is in the process of developing new standards, 245D, for services listed in this section. This language would allow or ensure Region 10 Quality Assurance standards will continue to be the standards for quality assurance in the licensing system.
Senator Miller, would you go through that again? I didn't quite get what it is that's changing here in terms of who establishes these standards.
Sure. So right now, Region 10 Quality Assurance utilizes alternative standards that have been approved by DHS for services specified in Section 7, 1 through 6. So they're all listed in Section 7, 1 through 6. DHS is in the process of developing new standards, and from my understanding, this is called the 245D. And we're asking for this the added language and any other services licensed under 245D, and that would ensure that Region 10 quality assurance standards will continue even after 245D is adopted. And I believe there are some representatives from DHS here that could answer any further questions on that, if you have them, Madam Chair, or any other members of the committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Section 8, we're changing, we're striking the word 2, adding the word 4, and the reason we're doing that, at least 3 Region 10 stakeholders must be members of the State Quality Council during the first 2 years. At this time, these members would be replaced by newly formed regional council members. The State Quality Council has not formed a new regional council for new members to come from, so we ask that the Region 10 stakeholder membership criteria be extended for at least another 2 years so those members can stay on. So that's Section 8, and then Section 8, on mine it's line 6.10. We're just eliminating, again, the date by July 1st, 2013. That's the sunset date. The Quality Council wanted to develop a transition plan for Region 10 quality assurance providers by this date, and it's not going to be accomplished by that timeline, so we're asking for an extension.
Thank you.
With that, I would like to turn it over to our witness.
Would you give us your name and your who you're representing?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dan Zimmer. I'm the director for Region 10, Minnesota Region 10 Quality Assurance. I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak on our behalf. Minnesota Region 10 Quality Assurance has been working for over 15 years to bring quality and quality improvement and quality management to providers and for people with disabilities in the southeastern part of Minnesota. We're best known for the voice review, which is an individual valued based approach looking at outcomes for people with disabilities. And we've worked at making sure that our voice reviews are quality improvement for the person that we're receiving the information for, as well as quality assurance for the providers that are serving them. So we use the information in two distinctly separate ways. In 2011, that State Quality Council was established, and they've been working in developing and looking at how can we bring outcome measurements, how can we move more towards a regional, maybe a regional approach. And in their discussions have been asking us as a region to be part of that plan, be part of helping DHS and our state develop a new means of monitoring licensing. We really want to work with DHS. We want to work with the State Quality Council and eventually fold what we're doing, our services, into that state plan. And this legislation here is really designed to keep us strong, keep us working, keep us viable, until that time comes when our state is ready to move towards a regional approach and we're there to help and assist in whatever way it needs to be. Thank you for your time. I can answer any other questions you may have.
Well, hold on. There may be some questions for you. We have another person on the name. Mr. Larson, did you want to testify on this bill? We have your name here. Okay, great. Thank you. So with that, is there anyone else here wishing to be heard? Seeing no one, is there any? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Senate File 941, as amended, be recommended, pass, and sent to the floor.
To Finance.
Finance.
Senator Rosen moves Senate File 941 as amendment be pass and move to Finance. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Senate File 1181, Senator Nelson is here and working a little bit, so we'll take a breath.
Let's go ram it at the room.
Yeah.
I'd argue with that.
It's hard to make a good thing.
Hello, Senator Nelson. We are about to present Senate File 1181. The amendment that you have is not, we don't have copies for yet, so we'll hold off on that a little bit till we get enough copies for our committee at least to. It is an author's amendment,
yes,
huh?
Yes, it is an author's amendment.
Why don't you proceed with the offering the author's amendment,
yes,
and then we can discuss it in the context of the
yes,
bill.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'd like to present Senate File 1181, and I do have an author's amendment to put the bill in the shape that I would like. Would you like me to read it to you while it's being passed out to the committee?
I think we are having some copies of it made,
okay.
So you might as well proceed.
Okay. This bill is aimed at helping stem a tide of opiate abuse, drug diversion, which is diverting drugs that are intended for patient use, being diverted by healthcare professionals. And I just want to, we'll talk about the need for the amendment and what it does exactly, but I would like the committee, Madam Chair, just to adopt the A1 at this point, which further clarifies the intent of the bill.
Thank you. Okay. Senator Nelson offers the A13 amendment to Senate File 1181. All those, it's an author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The amendment passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I also believe there is a recent article that's being passed out to the committee as well on opiate abuse. But Madam Chair, I'd like to introduce two of my testifiers today. I'll talk about why we are bringing this bill before you today, and then I'll turn it over to them. To my left is Dr. Keith Berg, Vice President of the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice, consultant in anesthesiology, and chair of the Medication Diversion Prevention Committee at Mayo Clinic. And on my right is Stuart Williams, the Vice President of the Board of Nursing and the Vice President of the Board of Pharmacy. And some of you might recall, and I did give a copy to the committee, of a Star Tribune article on November 3rd of 2011. And in that article, it addressed the issue of a nurse anesthetist who, over a 15-year period, stole drugs from his employers and treated patients while he was high. This is called drug diversion, which is diverting drugs for patient use to personal use. And when I read this article and realized how could this happen a multitude of times, this particular individual had gone through a health services professional service program three times, and yet was put back into that very addictive environment where there was access to highly addictive drugs. And certainly I was concerned about the welfare of patients and patient safety, but I was also concerned about the treatment options that would put a person back in that very dangerous environment of having access to highly addictive drugs. And at that point, I called up Dr. Keith Berg, who I knew was an expert in this area. And since that time, we have been working with the different the licensing boards, the Minnesota Medical Association, to really get at the root of this problem. And the bill that you have before you, Senate File 1181, is an attempt to do that. And before I explain the bill, I will turn it over to Dr. Berg to discuss the incidents and the issue of drug diversion.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. The issue that concerns us here is that the nursing board at no point became aware of this individual, and that's just the way the Health Professional Services Program works. It's a very good program, and it does it functioned as the law says it is to function, in that they are not under obligation to report to the boards if they recognize diversion. And that is a good functioning system as it stands, but this is a gap and I think a vulnerability that's been recognized since the creation of the Health Professional Services Program legislation nearly 20 years ago. And as this opioid epidemic that you hear about has gotten worse, and more healthcare providers are becoming addicted to these drugs and basically stealing them from their own patients, it's possible for those people to, as this nurse anesthetist story shows, end up in this sort of repeat cycle of relapse, getting under HPSP contract and monitoring, back into practice, relapse, and the responsible health licensing board is never made aware that they have a licensee that is in this cycle. And so the goal of this legislation is just to change that, to require the employer, if they recognize that they have an employee that is diverting drugs, that the employer is under obligation to report it to the responsible health licensing board. At this point, a lot of employers will feel they've satisfied their reporting requirement simply by reporting to HPSP. And that, I think by the letter of the law, in most cases they actually have done that. At Mayo Clinic, we have changed our policies for years now, and we report not only to HPSP but also to the responsible health licensing board, which may or may not choose to discipline the individual who is diverting the drugs, or may simply refer the person to HPSP for monitoring.
Thank you very much. I see that Mr. Williams is here as well from the Board of Nursing and the Board of Pharmacy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I am a public member of the Board of Pharmacy and a public member of the Board of Nursing, and I'm serving this year as Vice President of both boards. And on behalf of both of those boards, which unanimously voted to support Senate File 1181, I ask that you consider and pass this bill. Drug diversion by licensed health professionals in Minnesota is a serious and growing problem. According to a 2012 report by a coalition led by the Minnesota Department of Health and the Minnesota Hospital Association, there were 250 reports of theft or loss of control substances in Minnesota from 2005 to 2011, and those reports increased by 325% between 2006 and 2010. And the concern is not just with the diversion of drugs that are intended for patients. If a licensed health professional is diverting drugs, they're not taking the drugs home and using them recreationally on the weekend. They're often taking them while they're on duty caring for patients. There are approximately 267 licensed health care professionals in the state of Minnesota, and approximately 169,000 of those licensed professionals are licensed by the Board of Medical Practice, the Board of Nursing, and the Board of Pharmacy. And those are precisely the people who have ready, easy, daily access to narcotics. So the concern of these three boards is heightened by the problem we face and the need we have for this information. If an employer of a licensed healthcare professional has knowledge that one of their employees is diverting narcotics, that information must be reported to the appropriate board so those boards can take action to protect the public, which is our assigned task.
Okay, thank you. Excuse me for being distracted here. We're being called back and being asked to return to the floor of the Senate immediately. And so I think that it's pretty clear that this bill, 1181, is about making it mandatory that an employer report to the appropriate health licensing board an employee who has diverted narcotics or controlled substances. in a way that violates state or federal narcotics as a controlled substance.
Yes.
That's the essence of the bill.
And, Madam Chair, might I just add that we are unaware of any concern with this bill. I do have one other little amendment that I can add when we come back, if
okay.
you would like. There's no opposition to this bill. We've worked through this for about a year and a half now to get everyone's concerns addressed.
Okay, great. So then I'm sorry to have to interrupt your testimony, and to those of you who are here on other bills, I have to recess the committee to the call of the chair, and we are returning to the floor of the Senate.